This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The latest numbers are 1 in 150 children are suffering from autism in our country alone. If you look back between 1989 and 1992, the federal government changed the vaccine schedule such that kids went from getting 8 shots to getting 20 shots. And each one of those shots has a little something in them called thimerosal, which is an ethyl mercury-based preservative. The amount of mercury that started going into our kids skyrocketed. And as a result, in my opinion, and the opinion of many people who've had a chance to look at the evidence, autism in this country skyrocketed as well, going up 1,000% during the 1990s, over 700% here in Virginia. And as a result, now in 2007, we've got 1 in 150 kids, about 1 in 80 boys now is suffering from autism. And that's what's going on with my 5-year-old son as well. My good friend, UPI reporter Dan Olmstead, investigative reporter, has done some of the best research, some of the best work in uncovering the truth about this epidemic, the autism epidemic, and the possible relations and the evidence that does exist that shows a link between mercury and vaccines and what we have come to call autism, which may in fact be some form of heavy metal poisoning. Dan joins us on the phone. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hi there, Coy.
How are you doing?
Just fine. It's not quite as warm up here, but it's pretty nice.
And you're in D.C., right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, downtown, right by the White House.
There you go. So, yeah, it's beautiful down here. 84 degrees. It's just lovely. Great. It's just lovely. But you get in D.C., some folks may not know this if they're new to Virginia, but it actually gets, in the middle of summer, it's actually hotter and a lot stickier in D.C. than it is here.
I think that's that foggy bottom effect, right?
Yeah.
We're kind of down in a swamp. And
Yep.
Yeah. And a lot of concrete.
It's that old swamp. Hey, Dan,
yeah.
If you can just review for us a little bit of some of your work, the series that you have been working on, and how you got into this work in researching this epidemic of autism that is now inflicting so many of our young children across this country.
Well, I guess I got into it because I was suspicious of the CDC, which may not sound very reasonable, but the fact was I had done a series of articles on an anti-malaria drug that the CDC recommended without reservation that turned out to have some pretty severe side effects, including suicidal thinking, and actually some people killed themselves and may have killed other people as well, and ultimately got interested in whether perhaps in their war on disease some of our public health officials may have been too hesitant to acknowledge that drugs can have side effects, and if everybody has to get them, which is the case with vaccines, you'd better be very clear about what the possible risks are and share that information and let people make informed choices. And so I just started writing a column where I began to look at autism and this possible connection with vaccines, and in particular with mercury. I've been at it a couple of years now. I kind of tried to start at the beginning, meaning the earliest cases that were first diagnosed by a Johns Hopkins professor named Leo Connor in 1943. These were 11 kids who were born in the 1930s who just kind of seemed to show up out of nowhere, and it's one of the key questions as well. Has autism always been around, but just not diagnosed, and has awareness increased a lot? Or is something else going on? And I think that, you know, you and I think, have come to the conclusion from our own perspectives that something is going on, that you couldn't miss 1 out of 150 kids with an autism spectrum disorder the way some people think you could. So I started there, and I kind of moved forward and tried to figure out, well, how could we test this idea that some vaccines or other medical products might possibly be playing a role in this. And that took me to looking at some never-vaccinated groups, in particular the Amish up in Pennsylvania, which is not far from here. And in my very unscientific and anecdotal way, I tried to see if I could find autism cases among those folks, the Amish, who live very isolated existences and generally don't get vaccines or get very many of them, I couldn't find much. And again, I'm being very cautious when I talk about that.
You couldn't find much in the much autism.
Much autism.
Yeah,
exactly right. So that just kind of led me to look further, and I found some other groups that were much more mainstream who had never been vaccinated, and they also seemed to have low rates of autism. Those included homeschoolers, and there was a big medical practice in Chicago, a home birth practice, where people did not get their kids vaccinated. So that was interesting. I've just kind of tried to look at whether we really are... whether it's safe to rule vaccines out yet as a possible cause of autism, and I think it is too soon to do that.
Dan Olmsted is our guest UPI reporter. I got two questions for you. Is, in your opinion, you've been looking at this for years now, you've been looking at it closer than many doctors have, Dan. Number one, is there evidence that links the mercury in these vaccines with what we understand and what we call autism, number one? And number two, is there evidence on the part of government watchdog agencies of a cover-up of this link?
Well, the government will say that they have looked very carefully at the question of a possible association between vaccines and autism, and they've come up empty. That, there have been studies in this country and studies in other countries, and they've involved hundreds of thousands of kids, and they just don't find anything. But those studies have been criticized as perhaps being self-serving, in that the CDC is the government agency that does hand out vaccines and set the immunization schedule. And so, the other issue is mercury itself is toxic. We know this, and we know that in medical products in the past, when it's been used, it led to a number of serious illnesses in kids, like pink disease, which was a scourge when they were using mercury and teething powder. And just other studies. There's a chemistry professor at University of Kentucky named Boyd Haley who has looked at the effect that thimerosal can have on brain cells, thimerosal being this mercury-based preservative. And he's found that it is really toxic, obviously, but that it will kill brain cells more frequently when there's testosterone included than when there's estrogen. And, of course, autism affects 4 or 5 times as many boys as girls. So there's just a lot of very intriguing, suggestive data that makes you wonder if we have really gotten to the bottom of this yet.
UPI investigative reporter Dan Olmsted is my guest. And let's get to your latest installment of your series titled Mercury Rising. Tell us this story, because you did go back to the very beginning when autism was first diagnosed in the world at Johns Hopkins University. Tell us what you discovered.
Well, that group that I mentioned, those first 11 kids who were born in the 1930s, were kind of a remarkable collection, not just because of their behavior, but because their family backgrounds were unusual. Their fathers were professors and scientists and lawyers and seemed to be pretty affluent. And at the time, Lee O'Connor, the professor there who first saw these kids, he noted that and he wondered what was going on. He even, unfortunately, thought that perhaps some of these parents were very career-oriented and, not as warm and caring as they could be with their kids, and that has led to a whole, era where the parents were blamed for this. But in any event, I was intrigued by what it was about these families that was so unusual, and I came up with kind of an alternate hypothesis, which is that it wasn't that they were so smart or that they were so career-oriented or that they were so cold. It was that they were in careers that brought them in connection with chemicals that may have proved toxic to their kids. And in one case in particular, and that's what I wrote about here, in case two in this report that Lee O'Connor did, was a child named Frederick W., that's what he was known as. His father was a plant pathologist, and after a couple of years of kind of looking for clues and using some of the information that that was in the article, I was able to identify the father, who was a man named Frederick L. Wellman, who was a plant pathologist at the big agricultural research center in Beltsville here, just up the road in Maryland. And I found that he had a big archive of material. In fact, it was at the University of North Carolina where he retired. And I went down and looked at it, and there was, you know, this big boxes of his research and his studies and his correspondence. And I opened the first box. I took out the first folder. I opened it up. And the first thing in there was his experimenting with mercury as a fungicide. And that was kind of, that kind of made the hair on the back of my head stand up, because what a coincidence, huh?
That this professional, that one of the father of the very first children diagnosed with autism, actually works with mercury day to day.
Right. I mean, it just, of course it could be coincidence, but I think you'd have to call it an unlikely coincidence. I mean, for us to be, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a couple of years, about this concern over mercury, and then when I find the first sort of real collection of information about any of these cases, the first thing in it is talking about mercury. And then it gets even more interesting, because at the time his son was born, he was working with a particular kind of mercury called ethylmercury, which is one of the organic forms of mercury that is very, very toxic. And that is the same kind of mercury that is used in vaccines. That is thimerosal, essentially, by another name. It's ethylmercury. And that, I think, really ought to make some people stop and think hard about whether they're so sure that thimerosal is safe.
And that's actually, in the 1930s is when this thimerosal, this ethylmercury, was first used as a preservative in the vaccines.
That's right, and it was basically invented by the same organic chemist, a guy named Morris Karash, who was at the University of Maryland, actually, and filed patents that led to both the ethylmercury fungicides and the ethylmercury preservative in vaccines. And so it's a pretty straight path from, you know, a single inventor into the 1930s, seeing the earliest cases of autism, and, you know, seeing one of the fathers of those very first cases basically was up to his elbows in ethylmercury. And that is kind of amazing, I think.
Yeah, it is startling. UPI reporter Dan Olmsted has been writing about the autism epidemic for years now, some of the very, very best work. And Dan, remind folks again where they can read your work.
You can go to upi.com. And we've recently sort of unlocked our archives, so everything is free and available. And I've got, like, I think I was counting the other day, I think it's 80 or 85 columns over the last couple of years. And the Frederick W. piece that I'm talking about is by far the longest. It's like 6,000 words, and it's there. We have a site called Special Reports at upi.com, and if you click on that, it comes right up.
So this the autism was not diagnosed. It was not diagnosed as a manifestation, as kids presenting themselves with this strange disorder, until the 1940s, among the very first generation of children who'd been vaccinated with vaccines that were using ethylmercury as a preservative.
Exactly, and that's why I think this Frederick W. case is so interesting, because it's got nothing to do with vaccines, but it's got everything to do with the kind of mercury that's in vaccines. So it also, to me, suggests a possibility, Coy, that we're looking at a worse problem than we may have even thought, which is, you know, this is environmental toxin, mercury, and it's all over the place right now. You know, we've got it from power plants, and we've got it in fish, and, you know, we've got one in six kids in this country is born to a mother with a high load of mercury. So it raises the specter that, you know, even getting thimerosal out of most vaccines, which is, of course, I think, essential, that might not be enough to solve this problem. We may have really a situation where we're poisoning ourselves and our kids here in a way that just has not been understood.
Yeah, and this epidemic of autism that we're seeing right now, these kids are, in a way, the argument would go, the canaries in the coal mine as far as our environment is concerned. That we literally, as you say, we literally are poisoning ourselves, and we're seeing it now among this generation of children now, one in six, as you say, that have autism, which really, you know, the symptoms of autism and of heavy metal poisoning have over 100 shared characteristics.
Yes, and, you know, I'm afraid it may not be just autism. I mean, we've got ADD and ADHD, and we've got asthma. We've got 1 in 10 kids in this country with asthma. And I don't think that's something that would have been overlooked 100 years ago. These kids are, got inhalers and they're sick. And we've got juvenile diabetes at record numbers and juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. It is a, whether or not mercury or vaccines or anything like that is involved here, it is an urgent and really chilling situation that needs to get a lot more attention than it's getting.
Dan Olmsted is an investigative reporter for UPI. Dan, thank you again for all the work that you do and for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure, Coy. You're one of the good guys on this, so keep going.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.